This talk was given by Vanessa Zuise Goddard at the Zen Center of New York City. Zuise is a Dharma holder in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation, please visit our website at zmm.mro.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Thank you. that could happen to you. Refuge, protection, and love. And this is kind of the opposite. You pull yourself out there completely. And that's the protection. But even what this vulnerability really is, it doesn't necessarily match our image or anything. Because it's not just if I see what I'm thinking, if I say what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing, if I share that with you, that I'm holding back, then I'm being vulnerable. And I think true vulnerability, we can still have that. It's the quality that maybe we can speak of it. We can still make sense in ourselves, we can say something to each other. And it's very tender. That's the tenderness of, to me, it's just the very tip of the iceberg of what we can communicate with words. We can say so much. We tend to say so much, but what are we actually saying? There's a whole incident in Paris, in Paris, at the newspaper, because we've been working on it, and it came up as I was writing this talk. And I was told this couple of people are here, and I was thinking, what is it mean for the next piece? Because it seems to me, at least, maybe to some of us, you know, that we are just saying whatever we want, and to do what we want. Without consequence. But that's impossible. And we don't live in this independent bubbles that have no effect, whatever bubbles. Just one thing to react and to respond, to focus on all this threatening. It's so hard for the man to be on the other side. He would rather die on his knees. What he did had an effect on the people around him. And I read an article by Lena Lexan Gay, an article in The Guardian, and she was saying exactly this, saying that the freedom of speech is not going to have a consequence. And he was pointing to that, the movement of the world's not a day, and the people who said, no, I don't want to be. Just the people that said, I know that it's going to happen. I'm Michael Brown. And she said, I don't say this. She said, I am not Tiger. And if I say that, she said, I am for the terrorists. And she said, when our responses are limited to you are either with us or against us, there is a way to mourn and be sympathetic to complexities like that is ruined. So if you're either right or wrong, if I'm on this count or that count, I lose the complexity of what it actually means to be human, what it means to have competing desires, to change my mind, to be uncertain, to be confused. To have the ability to hold all of it. It is very difficult to hold all of it. But this is what it means to be human. And that always marks the time. So you think about it as part, it's kind of like, you know, it's a recognition of the universe, and of course that includes us, it's an infinitely fragile place. And the sense to refine, you know, some of us respond with hubris, with bravado. Some of us retreat, we shut down. But some of us recognize that the only way to deal with a situation is to face it, is to turn it over to it. Is to hold it with a great deal of respect, an enormous respect, and to wonder what is it really. recognize that the world is a place that is, which is not tragic. And to hear the truth that this is in fact my big goal. Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And the Dharma is broken because we are afraid. We are all forgiven. And given to the first, the historical Buddha, Dr. Dharma, but also the one who has been like a very perfect. Complete with the it's unlikely that this is the nature. You may not feel like it often, but this is the nature of the experience. It is all things that are limited right now. And it will be strengthened and it will be realized and you will not see it. And there is no further intention of that nature. So there is light. And then there is seeing that light. And living that light. There is seeing what you want. And it is also the infinite manifestation of that is beyond space and time. We think that every day, several times a day, all the lights throughout space and time. We gather in that sense. We gather all the buildings that have ever lived, all the buildings that will ever live, to this one. And in one sense, it's a formality. We don't need an invitation. We've always been here. At home. Just as your home. But in inviting them, in invoking them, we give, actually, they get this opportunity to remember once again that yes, here we are. All the infinite prayers that make up. That's also undefined purity. And the reason it's undefined is because it needs to say the word, so there's nothing outside that can stain it. You can't miss it. You can't offend the Dharma Church. Let me repeat that. You can't offend the Dharma Church. This is everywhere. It embraces everything. It accepts everything. No, there are no consequences. There is suffering. The Dharma is also the teachers. Very practically, the teachers are helping out the Dharma. Generation after generation. All the teachings, all the commentaries, the oral teachings. All the words that give expression to the profound truth. And that we are so terrible enough to have a Christian. So all the words come up. All of those who have walked the path before us and who have said, this is what it's like to be human. This is what you can expect. The Sangha Church is a community of practitioners. So of us. And everybody else who's practicing. So it's also a great family. And it takes work. It takes work to learn to understand it. But this is what Sangha does. We're not just a crowd, a random gathering of people, or even a deliberate gathering of people, or an intentional gathering of people. That's not enough. That's not Sangha. Sangha is a virtue of harmony. Without harmony, there is no Sangha. It's a jewel, and it's love, at first. But as we feel so many times, we carefully polish it. We deliberately polish it. And we respond to those feelings. And the Dharma. And of course, the practice of the Buddhist Dharma is the doing of that Dharma, the embodiment of the Buddhist teachings in our own lives. And sometimes we think about it as the kind of consistency, congruity. And his book, No Madness on the Island, Thomas Jordan says, the truth in things is a reality. In our minds, conformity of our understanding, let us know it now. And our words is a conformity of our words to what we think. And in our conduct, it is a conformity of our acts to what we are supposed to be. Next, humbly, we finish that last line to is a conformity of our acts to what we truly are. Let's look at thought, speech, and action. Next word, conformity. In the sense of the practice, I think requires infinite trust in yourself. No limitless patience. And I'm aware of your determination. Because too often I said enough, I don't know. Sometimes we don't know what's inside. We don't understand what's outside. And so sometimes it is from this side. And so we practice. We practice. And I think that one of those, and I've quoted it a couple of times at least, but I love it, is of Adrian Rusty, who was a Dutch American minister and peace activist, and who during the Vietnam War would stand every night in the evening outside the White House holding a candle, a lit candle, and took it on the war. And when I reported that to him, I said, Mr. Musty, do you really think that lighting a candle is going to change the policies in our country? And he just said, well, Musty, you have it all wrong. I am not doing this to change the country. I am doing this so the country won't change me. To do this, but not to be swept up by the world's confusion. Of its feelings, its anger, its ignorance, which is my own desire and anger and defense. I didn't see what the world around changed. I changed. And the world changed. But I didn't see what the world around changed. I'm glad to see it. Lighting that candle every day, no matter the weather. You will stand with your candle in the cold and silence, 70 degrees outside, and it's so clear that you can see the stars as the same clear dimensions you could reach and touch with the figure. And you're standing when it's pouring, and when it's raining, and when it's snowing. You're standing when you don't want to stand there, when you think it can no longer stand here. You stand there in the middle of a hurricane if you have to. And if you understand that candle, if you understand standing, then you know that all you need to do is stand it and hold it up. It's very simple. You may not know whether you can feel the difference if you're doing anything. You may not know if you have the right candle to begin with. And just stand and hold it. But I don't like to be seen and put it out. Martin says, if you can record it courage, then you imagine it to be perfectly simple with others. Your kindness is often stored by our fear. And the second one is sincerity. You become afraid, you become confused. And I confuse them, so often we turn out to try to get signals. What is right? What is happening? And we forget. We forget. We're so caught up in the world is just on myself. And we forget. Oh, I just have to look in. We forget. Oh, I just don't hold my candle. I just look. He says, your idea of me is fabricated with materials you have borrowed from other people and from yourself. What you think of me depends on what you think of yourself. Perhaps you create your idea of me out of material that you would like to eliminate from your idea of yourself. Perhaps your idea of me is a reflection of what other people think of you. come and say, well, what do you think of it? Except for what you think I think of you. In any case, we can't see ourselves. It's when we can see the other. And then, when we let others know, we forget the simple thing that came from. We're always holding it. And it is it. In fact, we don't even actually have to write it. It's always new learning. And I will end up with that. It's impossible to put it out. We try. Because we still think it's a candle. We still think, I picked it up. I have to write it. I have to make sure we don't take it from it. But actually, it can be taken. No one can take from you what you have always had. You cannot leave what you have been missing. But we expect it, and sometimes we do. We just don't see that. So we don't feel it. The candle can definitely give you how it's listening. And that's the time to turn to the Buddha. The body of the time. Always coming, but especially when we think we're lost, especially when we think we can't find the ground under our feet. In this book, All the Light We Cannot See, Nicholas Bohr, they briefly speak to protagonist, so go, no more. He's six years old, and he's gone blind. And her father is a master locksmith, and he's got to give his hands. He's got the time, the birthday comes around, and he finds a pistol, some kind of box. Mental box that has a puzzle that you have to solve in order to open and to see what's inside and do a lesson inside. But as she starts to lose her sight, what she does for her is to build a miniature city, to build a palace for her. With every single building, every roof, every corner, every tree, every grid, every piece of sidewalk. And he asks her to start seeing it in her hands. And in the beginning, she does this, and she thinks there's no relationship from the model to life. Because in this city, she can smell the fish water as she's passing by, and she can smell the bakers a block away. And she can feel that whenever the sidewalk changes, they're dead. And the model seems dead, seems devoid of life. But she insists that she studies it, and so she does. And by the time she's 6 years old, she's completely blind. Keeps studying the model, being aware of it, becoming familiar with this city that now has to be outside of her. And when she turns 7, they go out for a walk. And he takes her a few blocks away from her home, and he puts her in the middle of the sidewalk, stands there 3 times, and selects now to be home. And her heart sinks. And the first thing that she thinks is, I can't do that. I can't do this. It's too big. And all the smells of the burning each other, all the smells, she can see through clothes and the children from the playground that she blocks away. And he sits there and he sees her face and he says to her, Marie, calm yourself. You can do this. You know the model, you have your king. Take us home. Thank you. doesn't even know what to do to turn. If he takes them out of the most exhausting way, I don't think he can do it. And so the next week, when the twins go to God again, and again she can't do it, she goes a little bit farther, but she still can't do it. It is too big, but there's too much noise, there's too much chaos. There's too many things coming at her. She can't distinguish from one to the other. And if you do this, you still have to do so. And so one day, a few days after she turns 8, he sent her a warning, and they go out, and the father takes her to yet another street, 6 blocks, and goes down there home. And he goes around 3 times and says, take her home. And she realizes for the first time, she's not safe. The father did not think, and there was panic. And she says, maybe I can do this. Realizes she can hear the fountain from that part that they always pass in the winter in the summer when the fire works. And that if she really concentrates, she can smell and become the taste of the alcohol from the apothecary. And so, with complete confidence, she says, we turn left. And her father starts behind her, just as he sits behind, and he's jingling his keys in his pocket, waiting for her to start. walk the ground under our feet. It might have turned towards the floor and agree to that ground. Then that is what Sandra does. It's good for you to know this test, that vow to be on the ground, to be with customers, to be with you, to be the last. Whatever people need to be the guard, the protector, the guide. Food, medicine. Whatever is needed, that's where we can be with them. We are the sound of justice for the world, so that we are doing it. We can each practice on our own, and that would be good. And that would be powerful. Instead of doing it like this, we consider it good. That would be powerful. This is what we're here in the first day. To remind ourselves, to remind each other, that as many times as we need to, and don't let the world change it. Come on.